And it's just good to be saved, ain't it?
Amen.
It's good to be saved tonight. And I'm glad I made that choice.
Yes.
A 7-year-old boy, but then as I got older, and I realized God is not going to force me to live for Him. You know, there's a choice to be made to be a Christian at conversion, at salvation, but there's a choice to be made to be a Christian as a servant. And I believe we are, in a day and hour, we are faced with that crossroad decision. Are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to continue to, like we preached this morning, crown the wrong king? Or are we going to live our lives with the subtle serpent, distracting and defiling and destroying and deceiving us? And so the Lord started working in my heart. I was listening to that song today between church. And I choose to be a Christian. I've got a few little thoughts I'd like to give you tonight on that thought. That's what I want to preach on. Out of 1 Peter chapter number 4 tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And let's look in verse 16. We'll preach throughout all the text. But just for sake of time, we'll just read a few verses this evening and get into the message, what God's put in my heart today. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse number 16, if you would. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And we'll go back to verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. If I could tonight, I want to preach just for a few moments on this simple thought. I choose to be a Christian. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our hearts. Now, God, Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help me and enable me, and God, that you'd give me power and unction, Lord, that, Lord, only you can give. I can't preach on my own. And so, Lord, if you would, please touch me one more time. God, we thank you for meeting with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of God that we have seen and heard and we felt, Lord. Thank you for that. But, Lord, tonight, we need you one more time. And, Lord, I done feel your presence. And, God, you've already helped me tonight in congregational singing. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help your people and, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, that we not just be hearers, but doers of the word. Lord, please help us in these last days to choose to be Christians. We'll thank you for all that you do here tonight in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the Lord's people said, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. If I could tonight, real quickly, by way of introduction, I do want to say that it's here in our text where the Apostle Peter has begun to directly deal with the Christian life. If we go back, and we will, if we go back to verse number 1, we'll find in this chapter that Peter has addressed the Christian life. And there are many avenues one could take in looking at the Christian life. But in this chapter, what I find is it's really boiled down to a twofold deal. Can I say number one tonight? The Christian life is simply this. It is to do the will of God. Did you know? And surely God, you do, but now I say it all the time. But maybe some of you have never heard me say it. Christian literally is defined as this, to be Christ-like. My friend, if we've ever needed Christians to be Christians, can I get a witness right there? It's in these days and in these hours. We are living in the fluff generation where everybody wants to feel good. I mean, nobody's ashamed of sin. All things are welcomed, and you can live like the devil and still be called and proclaim the name of Christ. But my friend, the Word of God is very distinct and it's very clear on this subject of Christianity. When when Jesus went to those disciples, you know what they had to do? They had to forsake all and follow him. And I say tonight, in the twofold deal of Christianity, the first thing is that we are to do the will of God. That means if it's in the Bible that a Christian ought to worship God, you ought to worship God. It's in the Bible that a Christian ought to praise God, you ought to praise the Lord. It's in the Bible that we ought to sing, we ought to sing. It's in the Bible we ought to live a clean life and abstain from all appearance of evil. So we ought to do that. It's still in the Bible to read and to pray and to study and to grow. And it's in the Bible, believe it or not, it's still there that we ought to be faithful to church. And we ought to be faithful to what we do at church. We ought to be faithful to participate in church. Ain't nothing worse. I need a little help right here. You say, how do we go from having dead services to good services? Participation. Listen, I can't make you do it, but if you want a better service what you had this Sunday or last Sunday, you can be the difference maker. All you've got to do is be a Christian. What do you mean, preacher? Do the will of God. You know it's the will of God for you to say amen. Did you know it's the will of God for you to throw your arms up? Did you know it's the will of God to shout? Did you know it's the will of God to cry and to pray and to rejoice and to run and to clap your hands and to sing with a loud voice and preach with a loud voice and pray for one another and pray for sinners? Did you know all those things are the will of God? You want to be a good Christian? Just submit your life to the will of God. That's the first part. And the second part of this twofold deal, we're going to look at it verse by verse in a moment. But the second part is this: not only if you want to be live the Christian life and succeed in the Christian life, not only is it to do the will of God, but secondly, it is to suffer for His pleasure. Now that's the one that nobody likes to hear. But you will not be a biblical Christian without suffering. I can't preach this enough. And if you're looking for a different message, there's 1,000 big time churches down the road that's going to give you one, but it ain't the truth. Listen, just because you say, I'm a Christian, the prosperity. I mean, I've heard that, and you've heard that till we all want to barf. Listen, there is great prosperity in the Christian life. And what is it? Well, it's that we got the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. It's that we got the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. It's that heaven's our home. It's that Jesus is our friend, our Savior. It is that we're not going to hell. I mean, there's all kinds of prosperity for being a Christian, but it's spiritual prosperity. You must understand there is a great difference in spiritual prosperity and physical prosperity. And not one time in this Bible will you find a follower of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, will you find somebody in the will of God being a good, solid, faithful Christian that did not endure some form of suffering, whether it be physical suffering, physical persecution, whether it be many avenues of suffering. Suffering is part of the Christian life. It's part of the Christian life. And here's why. Because He suffered for us. Now listen, suffering does not always have to be viewed as a bad thing. And I know we do that a lot. I'm one of you. But in this Bible, it is a blessing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Listen to me, kids. If you're going to be a real Christian, you are not going to be the most popular. You're not going in the who's who in the yearbook. You're not doing it. Because in order to succeed and to prosper in the world, you have to meet their standard. And their standard is unholiness. And their standard is wickedness. And their standard is, I mean, you name it that's not right, that's their standard. You know what the world's looking for? They're looking for everybody to just throw away right and wrong. And just whatever men please to do is all right with us. And, you know, you're to be a lover of all people. Can I say that God hates sin, and me and you are supposed to hate sin as well? We ought to show love to the world because Jesus did through His sacrifice on Calvary. But my friend, again, it's through Christ that He loves us. And it is our job to tell this world that Jesus loved them so much that He died for their sin. But we are not to conform to this old world. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. different. So you've got to think different than the world. You've got to act different than the world. You've got to live different than the world. And you will suffer for it, but you can have a prosperous Christian life. You see how that works in the New Testament. Suffering brings prosperity. The world's got this thing twisted around. They want you to prosper and no suffering. But you, according to this Bible, you can't prosper without suffering.
Right.
Listen to me. I need a little help tonight. You know the quickest way up with God is down.
Yes, sir.
The quickest way to go up with God is to first go down with God or before God. You know what the Bible says? Those that humble themselves will be exalted. This world, in their mind, their theology, their thinking, they have exalted themselves and they are above us, God, and everybody else. But in reality, they are in the lowest of lows. And for us who have lowered ourselves, those who have, listen, even Jesus, what a testimony. When he came, the Bible said he made of himself no reputation. He took on the form of a servant. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But my friend, he made himself lower than the angels. He became a sinner. He became a poor man. He became the lowest of lows. And he is exalted to the highest of highs tonight.
Amen.
Talking about the Christian life, it's twofold. It's to do the will of God and suffer for his pleasure. Can I say this tonight? As a Christian, you are to abstain from sin. You are to acknowledge your Savior. We're going to look at verse by verse here in a moment. How do we acknowledge our Savior, Brother Shelby? Well, number one, we can acknowledge our Savior tonight through and by sobriety. Be sober, be vigilant. How can you acknowledge the devil to sober up? And I'm not talking about off booze. I'm talking about in our minds to be sober. It means to be alert, to be on the lookout. It means to be wise and means to be circumspect.
Amen, sir.
Walk circumspectly, the Bible says. Not as fools. You know what circumspectly is? Very carefully. I need a little help tonight, y'all. I'm talking about I choose to be a Christian. Why? How are we going to be a Christian? How can we succeed at the Christian life? Do the will of God and suffer for his pleasure, abstain from sin, acknowledge your Savior through sobriety, which is to be alert, to be sober, and to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. So we ought to walk circumspectly. In sobriety, we can acknowledge the Lord Jesus through sobriety. We acknowledge our Savior through separation. You know what you're doing? Well, bless God, down there at Stillwater, they think they're better than everybody. No, we are acknowledging our Savior if we separate. If I have to pull away from you, it is not because I think I'm better than you, but I love my Savior more than I love you. I need a little help tonight, somebody. I mean, listen, it's not a holier-than-thou mentality, and that's what they'll accuse us of. It is simple separation to acknowledge my blood-stained Redeemer. I cannot hook up and associate with everything and everybody because I'm trying to be a Christian.
Amen.
Trying to acknowledge my Savior through separation. How else can you acknowledge your Savior? Supplication. Supplication. That is you crawling down on your face and talking to God.
Yes.
Can I say you would agree with me tonight? If everybody in the church walked by you and never said a word to you, you would think they were not acknowledging you. Ain't that right? I mean, nobody cared. Nobody talked to you. And every time you tried to speak to somebody, they just looked at you and walked off. You would think, my Lord, they must not care about me. They must not like me. They sure can't love me. They won't even acknowledge me. And yet we've got a Savior who hung out naked before all the world, before between heaven and hell and heaven and earth. And he's bled and died and redeemed us. And all he wants us to do is talk with him. You've got to acknowledge the Savior through supplication. You can acknowledge your Savior through sacrifice. It's all just in about 15 minutes today. The Lord, over there in my office, listened to that song. Took me over there. And that term, that word Christian, 1 Peter, suffering. Christian, suffering. Boy, he's illuminated all this 2 minutes for a reason. Listen, if you're going to acknowledge the Savior, you will have to live a life of sacrifice. Because that's what he done.
All
It can't be all about you. And it can't be all about me. It's got to be about Him. Y'all have heard this analogy 1,000 times. J-O-Y spells joy. If you want real joy, Jesus is first. J. Others will be second. O. And yourself, Y, comes last. If you really want to succeed at being a Christian, it's that simple. Submit to the will of God and suffer for His pleasure. Who cares what they think? Put Jesus first, others second, yourself last, and you can live a life that acknowledges our Savior tonight. And then lastly, acknowledge Christ through and by service. Ain't nothing says you have acknowledged and loved the Lord more than a servant's heart. You know, people that never want to do nothing for God scare me. I know everybody can hit a dry spell and stagnancy. I understand. I know we all go through times, seasons, bad, good times, bad times, highs and lows. I ain't talking about that. But it's in. I was just saying this before service. Listen to me. Good Lord, I want to put this for 2 hours here. In those highs and in those lows, you are still required to be one thing. Amen. You are still required to serve God. I told somebody, I don't even know who I was talking to. I said, it's not the highs and lows that discourage me. I'm okay with lows. I know lows come. I preach it all over the country. If you want to have life, you got to have highs and lows. A heart monitor goes beep, 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 beep. And as soon as it goes beep, you're dead. Highs and lows are fine. Well, here's what discourages me is people that know that they're to be faithful and serve God in the highs and lows, but let the lows affect them to the point that they become unfaithful to our Lord. And as a pastor and as the under-shepherd over the flock, I'm not a lord over the Lord. I'm not a lord over the God's heritage. I'm not, but I am the under-shepherd. I'm the overseer. I'm the keeper. I'm the one who's trying every way in the world to keep the world and the wolves off of the flock of God so you can grow and you can mature and you can go on and do something bigger and greater and more effective for the cause of Christ. And you cannot quit serving God in the times of low. You've got to acknowledge Him even when things are not looking good. You've got to acknowledge your Savior if you're going to be a real Christian. What if Jesus would have quit in the hard times? You say, I just got so much weighing on me. Well, so did He in the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all remember His prayer? Father, if it be possible. That does something to my heart. That tells me He really did ask the Lord if there's another way. You realize when He drank that cup, it wasn't wine in there. It was the wrath of God. That's where God turned the lights out. And He knew that separation was fixing to come when He hung on that cross as you and me and our sin was on it. And He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. Can I say this evening? Bless His name that He pushed through tough times. My God, are you talking about shallow Christianity? We are living in shallow Christianity. If everything ain't going people's way, they'll flat quit on God. And don't think one second about what all God endured for them. Boy, that ought to convict somebody. Can I say this tonight? We're moving on. All of these things, how to acknowledge your Savior, abstain from sin, how to acknowledge your Savior, sobriety, separation, supplication, sacrifice, service, all of these things, look here now, here's the deal. Here's what we're preaching on. They are a choice. But I've come to tell you tonight, it's a choice you ought to make. You ought to choose. Hey, boy, I'm glad I chose. I wished I could do all that. You can. It's a choice. It can't be that easy, preacher. It is. I'm telling you tonight, it's that simple. You just got to make a choice. Come hell, high water, good times, bad times, I want to be a Christian. I want to be like Christ. I want to look at few little things here quickly, and then we'll go to the house. I want to give you these points. I choose to be a Christian, number one, because of Christ's suffering. Why do I want to choose to be a Christian? Because of Christ's suffering. Look in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he hath suffered in the flesh, hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. What is the will of God? I told you, if you're going to be a successful Christian, you've got to submit to His will. What's His will? His will is for you and I to die in our flesh because He died in His flesh. Amen. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He suffered greatly. Why should you make the conscious choice to be a Christian? Because of Christ's suffering. Look at verse 1. He says, for as much as Christ has suffered for who? Y'all got a Bible? Look at verse 1. For us. He didn't, listen, somebody, well, he just died. He died for us. My God, that ought to make a dead saint roll over in his grave and shout hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. Some of y'all think you must deserve it. He died for us. And we know us. I know what I am and I know what y'all are. We're nothing but flesh and we're wicked and sinful in this old body. But glory to God, I choose to be a Christian because He chose me and He suffered for me and He died for me. He became me. That's why I choose to be a Christian tonight. Because of Christ's suffering. He suffered for us in the flesh. And the apostle says here, therefore, he says, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. If you'll put your flesh through suffering, the promise is this. Do I have your attention tonight? Some of you do. If you will suffer in your flesh, here's the promise. You can and will cease from sin. I wish I could do better. Quit feeding your flesh. When you watch everything you shouldn't and listen to everything you shouldn't and go everywhere you shouldn't and hang out with everybody you shouldn't and do this that you shouldn't, go there and think that, and then you never spend time with God, you never make a choice to be a Christian. Did you know once you get saved, I understand the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new, and that is right. But this old flesh man is still warring against the Spirit, and you've got a conscious choice to make. Even after being saved, are you going to be a Christian or not? It's your choice. It's your choice. And I want to be a Christian because of Christ's suffering. I mean, has he not done enough for us? My soul, he's done more than enough. You realize if all he ever done was come and die on that cross, it's enough. But he's give you life. He's give you the desires of your heart. He's blessed you. He's given you a family. He's given you a roof over your head and food and clothes and a job. Is anybody here not even know where you're at? We're in the right mind tonight. Some of y'all has been blown out hiring a Georgia pine, but you ain't tonight. Glory to God for that. Amen. I mean, God has paid our sin debt. He suffered. That's why I want to be a Christian. Not only do I want to be a Christian because Christ suffered, I choose to be a Christian because of the conversion of my soul. The conversion of my soul. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 4. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked, past tense, in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You know what the apostle's saying? He's saying there is a time where we walk, where they walk, where we walk in the way, in the will, the course of this world, the way of Gentiles. But there's been a change take place. He said in verse 6, for this cause, because we were drunkards and rioters, because we were full of lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. Because, verse 6, for this cause that was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Amen. You know why I choose to be a Christian? Because of the conversion of my soul.
Right.
Amen. I'll never forget, 7-year-old boy, when hell got real to me for the first time. For the first time, God stopped me in my tracks and revealed hell to me. You know what I wanted? Whatever it took to miss that awful place. You know what I found out? All I needed was Him. He converted my soul that night. He took that old carnal, wicked, rotten soul that was attached to that old, wicked, carnal, rotten flesh. And the Bible said He spiritually circumcised. He cut my soul away from my flesh. People say, I've heard this 1,000 times over, and they just don't understand spiritual. Well, ain't no way. No sin will enter into heaven. So if you fixing to get T-boned and you cuss real loud before you get T-boned out of fear and you get hit, you've just sinned. And if you hadn't prayed about that sin, you're going to die and go to hell. That's a lie out of hell. It's not how it works. Listen to me. I will say my soul is sinless. That new man has been washed in the blood. There's two of me tonight. There's the saved me and the old man me. And the saved man is perfect on the inside. I've got a converted soul tonight. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. I've been blood bought, born again. I've been regenerated, washed in the fountain of glory. I've been converted from the inside out. That's why I choose to be a Christian tonight. God's done more for me than I could ever thank Him for. I've got a converted soul. I've been saved and washed and sanctified and separated and circumcised. And glory to God, I've been sealed until the day of redemption. It ain't going nowhere, no time soon. I'm riding into glory on the blood of the Lamb. I've been converted. My soul has been washed clean tonight. That's why I choose to be a Christian. He's been so good. He's converted my old soul tonight. That's why I make the choice. I want to be a Christian. If He would do all that for me and for you, Brother Shelby, why would we not want to serve Him? Why would we not want to give Him our all? Why would we not want to pray? And why would we not want to come to church? And why would we not want to study His Word? And why would we not want to get on our face? And it's a blamed miracle that you and I got access to the throne room of grace. We ought to take every opportunity and spend time with our Savior. He's converted our soul tonight. He's converted our soul. That's why, man, that's why I choose to be a Christian. Whew. I choose to be a Christian because of Christ's suffering. I choose to be a Christian because of the conversion of my soul. But I choose to be a Christian tonight because the clock is fixing to stop. Look at verse 7. The The Bible said in verse 7, 1 Peter 4, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Can I say I made a choice to be a Christian because the clock's fixing to stop? But the Bible says right here in verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I made a conscious choice. I realize I don't have long. I realize people around me don't have long. My children don't have long. Our church don't have long. This old carnal world don't have long. We're fixing to get out of here. And the tribulation's fixing to come. And the rapture's going to take place. We're running out of time. The clock's fixing to stop. We don't have time to be nothing but Christians. We ain't got time to be carnal. The end is at hand. Listen to me, if you're wavering of who you are and what you ought to do for God and what you need to be for God, you need to make up your blamed mind. We got long. You've got to get steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This wishy-washy, fly-by-night, ever when the doctrine blows people this direction and that direction ain't going to hold up when the buzzer sounds and when the clock runs out. It's time to get serious about being a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I choose to be a Christian because the clock is fixing to stop. I choose to be a Christian tonight because of the call to serve. I choose to be a Christian tonight because of the call to serve. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, the Bible says this. We're running out of time. Verse 7. Verse 8, he said, and above all things, have fervent charity. Everybody know what charity is? It's love. Have fervent charity or love among yourselves. For charity, love, shall cover the multitude of what? I just ain't no hope for my family. Oh, yes, there is. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood will lose all their guilty stains. Why did he die? Out of love. Why? What should we do tonight? We should love one another because he's loved us for Christ's sakes. I'm telling you tonight, the clock is fixing to stop, but there's a call to you and me to serve God and to love one another. Verse number 9, the Bible said, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. We're supposed to serve one another, minister one another. Verse number 10, bottom part, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If God's been gracious to you, you ought to take that grace, flip it around, and serve God with everything you got. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We ought to choose to be a Christian because there's a call to serve the King of Kings, to love one another, to exhort one another, to preach and to pray, to witness, to sing and shout. I'm telling you, God has called us to serve tonight. We're not just serving Him, we're serving one another. We're serving one another tonight. I messaged almost 40 people this week. Almost 40. That at one point has been a part of this church. Is that not unbelievable? 40 of them. You know what I done to every last single one of them? I told everybody, seen my posts at all. About 4 o'clock in the morning. And it'd been a long time since I was restless thinking about all those who have left the Lord. I'm talking about leaving the church. That hurts. I'm talking about they've left the Lord. And if you're not careful, we'll look down our nose at those folks. But you know what's going to bring them back? There's a call to serve. And it's to love those who seem to be unlovable. You know what I did tonight? I had to do it. God wouldn't let me not do it. Ain't that I didn't want to, but God made me do it. Told y'all this is just today now. This is after we eat. My belly's hurting. And I wanted a nap. But God took me over here. I wrote down a few little notes. Miss Autumn came in. Sit down. I said, come here. Mind trouble? I said, why no? She'd been going back and forth. I ain't doing this to embarrass her. I'm just telling y'all. She joined the church as a member. You have the right to know. Been going back and forth whether this is her church or not. You know what the fleshly side of Mr. Griffith wants to say? If you're going to be like that, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Come here. She said, what? I said, I just wanted to tell you I love you. People's left the church. Things are low. People ain't coming. If there's ever been a time that I hope that everybody who's been here is here, it's now. And I had to say, even though you've not been coming, I love you. You know what God told me as an 18-year-old boy? For 4 years, you ain't been living for me, son, at all. But I love you. It's called to serve. Called to serve. We make this thing, we take it and make it too personal. You with me? We make serving God too much about us and how we feel and how we've been wronged and how we're the one suffering and how we're the one that's having to go through the issue and how we're the one reaping everything. But it ain't about us. You know what love will do? It will hide and cover a whole multitude of sins. There's a call. I choose to be a Christian because of the call to serve. To love one another. To love the Lord. To serve one another and to serve the Lord. But then I want you to see I choose to be a Christian because of the continual strength. The continual strength. Isn't it amazing that how many times have you felt like, I am not going to make it another day? You felt that way 1,000 times and you keep making it. Because there's continual strength. And that strength don't come from Fox News. That strength don't come from God knows. It don't come from Facebook. It don't come from friends or family. It comes from the Father. That's our only source of strength tonight. I choose to be a Christian because of the continual strength. Look at verse 12. We'll see this in our text. Peter is writing. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. How many of y'all, every time a fiery trial pops up, you're like, I can't believe it. Why not? We've been through it 1,000 times. But we get there, don't we? So why me? Why not us? Lord, he said, don't think it strange concerning you, verse 13, but rejoice. Does anybody else want to just hide under a rock? Don't think it strange when the fiery trials come, rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. But verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Can I say tonight I choose to be a Christian because of the continual strength that God has provided that I know I cannot get any other place. He says, you've been reproached, you've been persecuted, you've been knocked down and drug out, you've been stoned, you've been cussed, you everything in the world has come against you, but you can still rejoice. How, Lord? How in the world can this fiery trial be a moment of rejoicing? Here's how. Because God continually provides you with strength. Because it's through suffering that we see Christ. It's through suffering that we experience what Christ went through, and our strength comes from Him and His suffering tonight. He says, rejoice because you're suffering for my name's sake. I believe there's a whole lot of things we've been through that we still don't know the reason, but when we get to heaven, He's going to show us. Right here, this is why you went through this and you suffered. Okay, Lord. Was it something I learned? No. Was it that something else happened 20 years later and I just didn't put the two and two together? No. Here's why you suffered. Here's why you suffered. So you could see and feel just a fraction of what I seen and I felt. When you, has anybody here this evening feel like maybe you're getting a bad end of a deal on something? There's a thousand other people out there that could be dealing with what you're dealing with, but they're not dealing with it. And here you are, you've been trying to do right, but you're the one all suffering. I'm trying to tell you tonight, there's continual strength for you. You better keep making the choice to be a Christian, because the Lord Jesus, He said that in those moments we have been made partakers of Christ's suffering. When we're under that load and we're under that burden, we're under the weight and the heaviness, and we're under that thickness, if you will, of the unknown and the betrayal and the guile and the persecution and the lies and the storms and the tests and the trials, that's when we're most like Jesus. And He provides, even when we feel like we ain't going to make it. Yeah. I wish to God y'all would act like a black church for about 5 minutes and just start dancing and running and put on a robe and start saying hallelujah and telling the preacher. Because God has provided continual strength to you and me. That ought to make a white Presbyterian Methodist shout that even when we felt like we could not go on, the Lord provides continual strength. I choose to be a Christian. Almost done, got two more. I choose to be a Christian because of the condemned souls and condemned sinners. Look at verse 17. We've preached the entire chapter almost, verse by verse. Verse 17, the Bible said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And I believe that. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? If there's judgment that needs to take place here, how bad are they? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, y'all seeing this? Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know why I choose to be a Christian? Because this world is full of condemned sinners. And if God is having to deal so much with me and my sin, and I'm one of those scarcely righteous, I'm one of those that's been saved, how much worse off are the lost? What have we been called to do? What did Jesus tell them before He ascended to the Father? He said, go into all nations, teach and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What is our job as Christians? Not just to be like Christ in our actions. And I think you ought to, because actions speak louder than words. But we ought to be like Christ in our mission. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you were burdened over lost people? Is that a fair question? When's the last time? Why should you keep being a Christian? And why should you make a choice you're going to serve God? Because there's 1,000 people directly around you in your life that are condemned sinners. And if we have so many things that we have to focus on, imagine how much worse it must be for those who are lost. They have no help. They have no hope. They have no heaven. Only thing they have is their self and an eternal place called hell. It's important for you and me to stay faithful and make the choice to be a Christian, because there's a bunch out there that all it's going to take is you being a light to them, and they're going to go from being a sinner to a saint. They're going to get saved. They're going to know what it's like to serve God and to know all these things that we've talked about. That's why I can't quit. I choose to be a Christian because of the condemned souls and sinners. But then lastly, I choose to be a Christian tonight because of the commitment of my soul. There's a commitment of my soul. Verse 19, last verse of the chapter. 1 Peter 4, look at verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, here it is, commit the keeping of their souls to Him. So who are we to be committed to? The Stillwater Baptist Church? Who are we to be committed to, Brother Josh? Who are we to be committed to, the members of the church? We are to commit our souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Can I tell you, if you were committed to Christ, you'd be committed to your church. Hey, man, there's a whole lot of people that can't never figure out, well, I don't know why I can't commit. I'd love to be just commit to the church. You're not committed to Christ. I'd love to commit to reading my Bible and to the Scriptures, but you're not committed to Jesus. I'd love to commit to living a good life and a clean life, but you're not committed to Jesus. I choose to be a Christian because when He saved me and I said, Lord, I crown You King. God, I believe You are my Savior. I committed my soul unto Him that day. And so many people will commit their soul just to get saved. But can I say, when you commit your soul to get saved, listen to me, we're done. In the same breath, you commit your soul to God, you entrust Him with your soul to save you, you ought to commit your soul to Him to serve Him. Amen. He saved you, so you serve Him. That's why it says, verse 19, look at it one more time. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Who is that? It's Christians. You don't believe me? Go back and read it. Talks about Christians suffering. Okay? So, wherefore let them, Christians, that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Why should you choose to be a Christian? Because you have made a commitment. When you ask God to save you, you know what you trusted Him as? The Lord of your life. Isn't it amazing that we expect God to keep His end of the deal? But so many people care less if they keep theirs. God, now you know, now I've done what that Bible said. You said if I repent and I'd say, call upon your name and trust you and believe the gospel, I'd be saying to the Lord, if I go to hell, I'm going to trust in your word. But I know you can't lie. You're going to keep your commitment. But you don't hold yourself accountable to keep your commitment to the one that saved you. He ain't asking you to die on a cross. He's not asking you to carry the sin of the world. All He requires of His children is faithfulness.
Amen.
Serve the Lord. And you ought to do it well-doing with a song in your heart and pep in your step. Ain't nothing aggravates me worse, and I'd imagine ain't nothing aggravates God worse than a bunch of hateful born-again believers.
Amen.
Why are you so mad and angry all the time? Why are you grouchy as the devil? Why can't you ever have a smile? Why ain't you ever got a nice word? Why does your attitude stink? And why is just being around you bother people? If you've been saved, you ought to be the happiest sucker on the planet. I'm telling you, we must commit our souls and our service unto the Lord tonight. Amen. And make the conscious choice to be a Christian. Let's all stand. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Now, Lord, ain't doubt my mind, you've had a word to say to our hearts. So, Lord, take my feeble efforts and bless them for thy glory. God, I pray tonight that the people of God would heed to what's been said and make the choice every single day to be a Christian. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to come tonight, I believe probably most everybody ought to. That's just my thinking. If you're a Christian, you can hear about all that and what God's done for you. The least that we ought to do is say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, oh Lord. Call upon His good name. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be a Christian. Bless the Lord. Folks are moving. How about you tonight? Would you come? Would you come? God bless us and help us, convict us. In Jesus' name. Amen.